Hello, I've seen you around. Relax, we don't bite unless you want us to.
Oh, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing fine.
What's up in the world today?
The world. It goes around and around, and it orbits around the sun, which is orbiting around in a galaxy.
Stock market,
yes. Entertaining. Up 119 points on the Dow, up 30 points on the NASDAQ, up 17 on the S&P 500. At the moment, the Nikkei Dow average is up 97 points.
It's been down all week. That's just another jump up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fluctuation.
Remember what I said?
Correction.
Mm-hmm. But it's still down 400 points from its highest. Well, actually, close to 500 points. Mm-hmm. Okay, ground rules. We can't answer questions on the future. We can't answer questions on a technical nature that you don't have access to normally. That's a knowledge that's in the general knowledge pool. We can't tell you what you should or should not do. We can't take away those learning lessons. That's important ground rules that we need to cover. Now, most important thing is for you to relax.
Well, tell me that they have a stretch to catch on to it first anyway.
Yeah, I know. Okay, any questions? Okay, I'm a political analyst. I am an astral traveler, and what else do I do? That's about it.
What does a political analyst know about communes?
Communes. I know quite a bit about communes. It depends on the structure of the commune that you wish to live in.
Something not too religious. Or not religious at all.
In other words, kind of a group of individuals living together for a common good without any designated leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you want lots of fruit trees and fabric weaving. And, you know.
There's a couple up in Oregon. There's a couple scattered throughout California. The ones in California you don't want to get mixed with.
Oh, why
is
that?
Mainly because of their recreational habits. There's one in... some of them, yes. Or part of them, yes. Also, they have recreational pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. Some of them grow their own. There's one in Mendocino, which is entertaining to say the least. Communes are a good look at how life will progress. I mean, a group of individuals living together for a common good and not worrying about the external influences of the world around them, being independent, self-sufficient. That's what you want, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people that take care of each other when they need taken care of, but respect your space. There's a good one. There's a good one in Oregon that appears to be worth studying.
That's the one up near where I was living by Medford and Ashland.
That's the place where they have the Shakespeare festivals.
Right.
Yeah, that's one. There's another good one up in a valley in Washington where they grow lots of apples. Mm-hmm. And they also grow grapes there and peaches. Actually, not peaches. Pears. Yeah, and little round...
mulberries?
I think they're cherries. What else? Those are two very good ones. The one up in Washington is a little strange. It's kind of semi-politically motivated. It's almost a communist-type commune. But, yeah, it depends if you want to put up with that kind of rhetoric and that kind of environment for the general good.
Right. But, okay, let me ask a question. You said that is something that goes towards the future, something we're building towards.
Yes and no. They are glimpses of how things might be, but no, far from it. Far from it. Far, far from it. Morally, some of them, the one in Oregon is a good moral commune. There are underlying religious tones, but not everybody participates in it. It's those that wish to, do. Those that don't wish to, don't. Those that want to discuss politics, do. And those that don't, don't. Those that want to have their own space, but yet are prepared to work for the common good, do. And those that don't want to work for the common good, don't go there.
So that's a prerequisite. You've got to be basically able to work with them.
Uh-huh.
Now, what about internal friction between people?
That is normally discussed, which is good. I mean, if you let emotions and feelings build up inside you, you get angry, you get upset, you get aggressive, and that causes problems. So it's best to, when there's a problem, discuss it, get it out in the open. I've always said that talking about things is far better than bottling them up. I just wish that some people would listen to me sometimes about that.
We're not naming names, of course.
Oh, no. No, we're not naming names.
Okay. Describe yourself a
little bit. Oh, yes. I'm 5'2". I think you would call me a strawberry blonde, but my hair's more red than blonde. I have pointed ears. I have blue eyes, whereas yours work like this. Mine work like cats.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I have about 3 extra vertebrae in my back, which makes me very flexible. I would say that I'm of athletic build, although I'm getting a little bit flabby around the tummy at the moment. I have a little bump at the end of my spine where I have a vestige of a tail. I'm descended from felines. So that's why I started by going prank. That means hello in my language.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And how far away are you?
My home planet or where I am right now? Right now I am about 84 million miles away. Yeah, it comes through pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My home planet is about, I should say about 60 light years away.
How did you get to this?
Well, I kind of made a silly little mistake. I did what Mark does, astral travel. Now, to come up here, Mark does what they call dimension jumping, which to go from your dimension, which is on the third dimension, and you have to go through the fourth, which is time. And the thing is about time is it's not just one line. The best analogy is there a piece of wool or string kicking around? No, that doesn't work. That's one single piece of kind of plasticky type material.
Like what? Oh, you mean that you can split into different
pieces? Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a piece of string that you
unravel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's all a whole load of tiny little pieces of string all rolled together to make a bigger piece of string. And time is like that. You see, there's not just one linear timeline. A timeline is just one aspect of time. There are many, many different timelines. For example, here's a little thought exercise for you. Okay. Think of 10 different things that you can do sitting there right now. Let's hear them. Five each from both of you.
What can you do? Ask questions.
Look on my foot.
Uh-huh.
Shake my head.
Uh-huh. Very fun.
And
Okay. In time, in the fourth dimension, all of those things happen at the exact same time, but not all together. In each different line, they all happen. Plus, the fact that you could stand up and walk across the room, you could stand up on one leg, you could lick your finger and stick it in the air, you could scratch your nose, scratch your ear, stick your finger up your nose, stick your finger in your mouth, etc. All those things happen, all at the exact same time. When you travel through time, doing the dimension jump, if you stop and look at those,
is it like a concussion?
It's a little bit more than that. That's the first part of it. If you stop and look at all of those, think of all of those things happening, as we just discussed, all at the same time and seeing all of them at the same time. You would have sensory overload. Some people go crazy. Some people, as you pointed out, have a feeling like concussion.
Do they can't keep their eyes open?
They can't concentrate. They can't see anything. They get totally confused and they find themselves back at their start point. Or they find themselves trapped in that time with all those things happening and all the things that continue from that point happening all at the same time. And their body is left behind and basically it's left in a coma, apart state. And eventually dies. What happened to me, I don't remember too clearly, because when that happens, you kind of go back into a vegetable type state until you are brought to your waiting period and you analyze things and the mistakes and everything that you make.
Oh, I would do that
for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is a after death type thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but you can do it whilst you're alive. You can analyze all the things that you've done, all the stupid things, and decide where you can go. But when you do a dimension jump and you make a mistake like that, as I said, you can either go crazy, you get stuck in there, you get a feeling like a blow over the head or an implosion in the chest, or in the worst case scenario, you basically die. You go into shock with what you see, all the possibilities of everything that you can ever think of, all happening at the same time. And you die. That's it. End of story. In my case, it was a very near-death experience. Basically, I was in limbo. My body, what I did, which is a pretty neat trick if you can pull it off, is I pulled my body in with me. Mm-hmm. So basically, all my clothes were left behind on my native planet, and my body was sucked through with me. I stopped, looked at time, and went into shock. I don't remember very much about that. Apparently, I came through on the other side, but my body had shut down and my consciousness had shut down. Basically, for all intents and purposes, my body was dead. My heart had stopped beating. My brain was still functioning. When your heart stops, you have 4 minutes before the brain starts to lose oxygen and starts to die. That is when people have near-death experiences, which is very similar to astral travel. If in that 4 minutes your heart is restarted, you can live. Or if you're put in suspended animation, time stops for you. You are parked in that near-death experience, which is a wonderful experience, for a long time. And then if somebody happens to be kicking around that happens to have cloning technology, and higher technology again, and is capable of transferring your consciousness from one body to another body, you come back where I am right now. But it's something that I don't recommend. Mm-hmm. I was rescued. I was...
Well,
it wasn't quite Ashtar Kamak. But basically, I died. My original body is... basically still intact in the cryogenic unit, which is a deep freeze. And it's used basically if I need genetic materials, if I have a heart problem or I do something stupid and destroy my arm, I can have my other arm stitched on. And with certain medical procedures that I really don't understand, can be reattached.
Oh my gosh. Has that ever happened?
It happened to me.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. I got a whole new body out of it. It takes about a year for a body to be fully clamped.
And do you see scars?
No. In fact, I have three scars. I have three that I want back.
Okay.
Three bodies?
No, three scars.
Prior initiation.
Mm-hmm. You see, on my home planet, it is a matriarchal society.
Doesn't that hurt?
I was young when I had them.
How old are you?
I am 29 in your years. In my years, I am 33.
Oh.
My planet rotates on a faster axis. We have 23 hours in our day, and we have 300 days in our year.
Now, people back on Durandan must have been a little bit wondering why all of a sudden Tia is there and all left is your clothes. Where'd Tia go? bit of a story that gets passed around through the years afterwards.
Hey, I got abducted by aliens. Sorry?
I was curious, what language do you speak on?
Well, it's called, in my language, it's Hara'a. Hara'a. Don't even try to pronounce it. It's hard enough to manipulate Mark's mouth and tongue to get the sounds right.
Oh, okay.
We speak a language that is similar to, it sounds similar to what your cats, when they meow.
Yeah.
Partly because our vocal cords are a little shorter than yours. So yeah, we're much higher octave in our speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sound like the voice that Mark has or his body's using.
Do you respect American body?
Mm-hmm. I expect all life. I respect all life forms.
Good.
On my home planet, death is part of life. You know, we have ritual hunts that are a reminder of our past and also help to supply certain religious organizations and sects with food. And it's done on a purely religious purpose.
You don't eat the bodies, do you?
We eat animals like you do.
Oh, what kind of animals
do you have? I don't know. The words for some of them, we have some very similar to your deer, apart from they're a little bit smaller, and they're a lot faster. We have some very interesting three-legged animals, which have little short bodies with very powerful back legs, but just the one front leg.
How interesting.
Mm-hmm. We have animals that have very, very long limbs that glide through the air and fly, not like your bats, not like your birds. We have, hate them. We have a little creature that is probably about this big.
Okay.
It has four legs and it's very, very venomous, but it's good eating. As long as you cut the head off. To eat. That's where all the poison is. It's kind of like a spider, but it's not a spider. We also have, it's a beautiful animal. It's ferocious. It's a herbivore, which means it eats plants only. It comes in big, big groups, and it has nasty, nasty antlers.
What, are they poisonous?
No, they're not poisonous. They just don't like being hunted. And those are the ones that we hunt for religious ceremonies. They're kind of like, what's that animal that you have that has the big shaggy black head and brown body? It's a herbivore on your planet, Russ.
Buffalo?
Yeah, something like that. Apart from the horns, straight out and very, very pointed. And those are the ones that we hunt for religious purposes because it takes great skill to bring one down. It's very spiritual having achieved it And the chase is very spiritual. And we ladies are the only ones that are allowed to hunt it. We're the only ones that are allowed to take any life. So it's something that's very, very intertwined as our religious and spiritual beliefs. Sorry?
I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she also has phenomenal hearing.
Good. Western Marks.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Who's on there, Dom?
Okay, we have, of course, myself. We have the Kiri Monster. We have Kara, Amol, and Corton.
Okay. It's a big night.
I wouldn't say a big night. It's just I believe.
Having court time. We don't see him very often.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's just a lecture. And I've taken up plenty of time.
Okay.
Before I go, any more questions?
It was really nice talking to you.
I'll be back.
You're welcome.
Har. Fine.
Greetings and felicitations, Russ. Greetings and felicitations, young lady.
Omar, this is Linda. Linda Omar.
It is a pleasure and an honor to meet you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay. I do not see much in Tia's discussion that is not usable. It is enlightening to hear Tia talk about her culture, mm-hmm. her explanations of dimensional jumps.
Leave it on the web?
Yes, certainly.
Okay.
But also, she did leave out a few points. I think on purpose, due to the fact of Tia being under pressure of time. Talking of time, time is far more complicated than Tia just explained. It is not a straight strand of time. It curves, twists, bends, and appears to warp. It loops, intertwines, and goes around. So, by explaining seeing every possible outcome of one thing all at the same time is just the tip of the iceberg. Also, what occurs is that you see both the future and the past all running together with what you perceive in your reality.
Now, Amol, in my various trips with hallucinogenic materials, mm-hmm. I've come across similar experiences where maybe it's not all of that, but it's a portion of that that you see all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Is this kind of closing in on that gap a little bit when I did that?
It is glimpsing what is possible, what time really is.
Okay.
It is a mistake to say time is linear. Yes, it is in an essence. One thing does follow another. In normal third dimensional space, your space. However, in fourth dimensional space or time, it does not. It is much like, okay, it is about to get very deep and heavy. I think probably few people will understand it that don't have a grasp of quantum physics. And I believe that is one of Mark's favorite subjects, is it not?
It is.
Okay, for the benefit of Mark. Okay. The nearest that can be experienced in normal time is at the event horizon. Now, the event horizon is that point as you approach the speed of light in normal space. If I am boring you, let me know. That is all right. In normal space, as you approach the speed of light, time slows down. As you approach the event horizon, which is the speed of light, time stops. Although, for the observer outside of the object approaching the speed of light, time runs at a normal rate. The change is not perceived. It just looks like it's moving very fast. For the observer inside the object as it approaches the speed of light, time slows down. However, the observer, because he is within this field, does not notice either. At the speed of light approaches, it is noticed externally that the object is moving further away at a higher speed. Internally, again, it is not noticed. When the speed of light is reached, time stops. If the observer within the object was to look back at a clock that he was watching as he approached the speed of light, the hand would stand still. This is simple quantum physics, where it starts to become a little bit convoluted is at the point where you exceed the speed of light. Now, an analogy was used where an individual is at the speed of light being an absolute, and it is an absolute inside normal space. It fluctuates, but the speed of light is an absolute. If the individual was to get up and, watching the clock, walk backwards away from the clock that is appearing to be stationary, that individual would be traveling faster than the speed of light. But that is not so. He is traveling at a normal walking pace that he would be traveling in normal space, because the vessel, even though it has approached the speed of light, inside it, it is normal space. The person would have to accelerate to the speed of light again to be traveling at the speed of light. But the object that he is within is traveling at the speed of light. Now, the equation E equals mc squared is a mathematical equation that is correct in essence. E equals energy, or energy times mass times the speed of light, which means as you accelerate, you need more energy, which is taken from the mass. So the more mass that you have, the faster and closer you can approach the speed of light. Interesting. As you approach the speed of light, you need more mass to turn into energy. In its current formula, there is not enough mass within your galaxy to achieve that speed of light. So traveling outside normal space is how you travel faster than the speed of light. But you do not need to travel faster than the speed of light outside of normal space. Okay. Do you understand, Ross?
Not a single word of it. But this does explain the movie Contact a little better, though.
Okay. However, having reached the point of singularity, or the event horizon, sorry. Okay, you pass over the point of the event horizon. You head into a thing called singularity, which is infinite, infinite smallness. The gravitational pull becomes so intense that everything is compressed into tiny, tiny, unperceivable amounts. So therefore, the person with inside the object traveling at the speed of light ceases to function, ceases to exist. However, what remains escapes as radiation back into the galaxy. Now, this has been theorized. A gravitational black hole, which is what I have just described, is the jump over the event horizon, and a singularity is a black hole. As the black hole increases in mass, it pulls in more matter and energy and more light. As it becomes so massive, the gravitational pull weakens. However, at the point of singularity, the gravitational field is just as intense. It is more like a steep-sided hole as opposed to a gently sloping hole. You can sit on the top of a gentle or a massive black hole. At the point of the event horizon and not be pulled in. On a small black hole, which may be the size of a marble, but yet has the mass of your entire galaxy, will have a far greater pull than a black hole that has the mass of two galaxies, two large galaxies, might I add. This is because of the intense nature of the pull of the black hole. Okay, here endeth the dissertation on quantum physics. Basic quantum physics.
Basic quantum physics. I'll put that on the web. Okay, so in Contact, where she gets dropped through that speed of light achieving thing, she's actually reaching a point of event horizon?
No. Because there is no return over the event horizon.
Oh, there isn't?
No. Having achieved the event horizon, you are crushed out of existence. Also, the formula E equals mc squared states quite clearly that there is not enough mass in your galaxy to do that. For the young lady in Contact to travel the distance that she supposedly did, she would have to travel outside of normal space.
And theoretically, she was.
That is their theory.
Right. I guess she was. She was out of normal space for that time period. She was within the circling wheels.
Correct. In your entertainment, Star Trek, they have the right idea. Warping space.
Well, you're ignoring normal space.
Correct.
I see.
However, the perception of stars shooting by is a suggestion of traveling at speed or greater than the speed of light. As I've just stated, that is not so.
Actually, it'd be closer to the movie Dune.
Yes, correct.
Where they're actually taking holding space and appearing on the point where they want to go.
Correct.
Still.
That is more closer to reality than is the traveling at a greater speed than light. That is impossible.
But folding the space?
Folding the space, bending, warping, whatever you wish to call it. When you do that, you travel outside of normal space.
So, we're approaching anything like, there's no way for us to approach the speed of light.
No.
Until we're able to actually warp space.
Correct. And then you don't need to approach the speed of light.
I'll have to go watch that movie, First Contact, where Zefrin, whatever his name is, breaks the first makes warp speed. I forgot how they did that in that.
I have not seen that. I can speculate and tell you how to do it, but then
yeah, right.
I would be breaking my own rules.
Which wouldn't quite be kosher.
Correct.
Right.
But as just being stated, how do I know that you are not the inventor of a device to warp and bend space?
Yeah, good point.
Or if the gentleman, the older gentleman that is normally here, Skip, if he is not the person that is destined to be the one.
Yeah, if you're going to break the news, wait till he gets here.
I don't think he would understand. He does not have the background on your Earth, and he doesn't have the access to the memories.
Right. Interesting, though. Okay, well, that explains a lot about that.
And I think I might have bored the young lady a little.
Well, that's necessary sometimes for the education lessons to come through.
Thank you.
And it is something that we are working on, you know, achieving for the whole planet.
Eventually, yes.
Eventually.
But it is very basic explanation on quantum physics.
Okay.
If you wish for me to get more technical,
no.
You might as well get up and wander off, as I would be getting down to mathematical equations.
Well, we would have lost half the audience at the webpage at that point anyway.
I think we might have lost half already when I started talking about singularities and event horizons. And
yeah, they'll be gone. They'll read this point. Oh, what? But that's all right. That's the whole point. Some people are going to understand and figure it out right away. And say, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I hope I have explained it simply.
For some people, I'm sure it was math, you know, first grade. For me, a bit over my head.
I do apologize.
Oh, that's all right. I expect that.
Have you been in on discussions where Mark starts theorizing and speculating?
No, not really. Luckily, he tries to avoid the thumb around.
I have heard from Kiri that he does get very, very deep.
Oh, I'll take your word for it.
Kiri is whispering that he had a very interesting discussion with a gentleman that he works with that was nothing but numbers and figures on a chalkboard.
Well, that's another one be over my head. I love a good numbers and figures. Anyway, that was very educational.
You're welcome.
What else is on tonight? Or what's up? What's up?
Well, I am free because of our guest, or your guest, to answer questions. I think it was important that Tia did lay down the ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
Of what could and could not be said.
Well, that's important anytime we have something new.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, mostly, I just want to say the only question I really got, an extra one, would be on her. She said that she feels like she's been abducted.
We would need to sit down and discuss with her on her experiences.
Maybe another time.
Mm-hmm.
And what's up on the base lately? Any new excitement?
Nothing major. As you know, I do not gossip.
That's true.
But
you do talk shop every once in a while.
Every once in a while, yes. Put it this way, I have been quite entertained recently.
Well, how so?
Well, the comings and goings of dignitaries, visitors, and the antics of youthful exuberance.
Youthful exuberance. I know that one real well.
No, not more painting things a nice shade of blue.
Oh.
No more practical jokes.
Oh.
Or that I have been involved in.
Well, that certainly helped your image up there, I think.
It made me appear more accessible.
Correct.
Which wasn't planned.
No, but it works out for the better, actually.
It was more planned to say that, yes, I do have a sense of humor. A mole does have a practical joke side.
Well, that's good.
I am even planning on taking a short rest. A nap, I believe you would call it.
You?
That is how busy I have been.
Wow. That's impressive. And you don't even sleep.
I do sleep. But I believe my last one was several thousand of your years ago.
Right. Yeah. Overstatement, I'd say. But, that's good. You got a good busy schedule, and even with all the people you have to help you, it still takes you that much work to get everything done.
That is correct. Learning, helping to learn, in guiding and counseling and organization is a full-time, no-rest job. It leaves me very little time for moments of enjoyment. But then all things are enjoyment. All matters that are handled are there for enjoyment.
Hmm. Well, if you can enjoy what you do, that's half the battle.
Yes. Okay.
I'm short of questions.
That is a pity. You did not plan.
Well, not really. I was kind of playing it by ear.
Winging it again.
Okay.
Hmm. You know what happens when wings get clipped?
I agree. But it's sort of nice to have you back.
Thank you. Okay, I will depart.
Okay. I will ponder upon questions.
Okay. Okay. It's getting close to the end of this side. You want to check?
About 5 minutes.
That's what I guessed. What's that ticking sound?
Just a tick.
Ah, okay. Ticking, huh?
Well, it's going through its pieces,
yeah. Okay. Okay, now where are we? She's left.
Mm-hmm. She just stepped up for a while.
Actually, so. Getting a little bit blasted by energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has to happen a bit. Has to be a pyramid down.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It gets a little intense and a little bit. She's getting a little bit uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little confused.
Well, you're certainly a comfortable person to start with.
Thank you. That Amal can be a little bit intimidating, especially when he gets on his basic 101, I don't understand quantum physics.
Yeah, well, I sure don't understand quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of the studies I've ever tried to really entertain as a serious study.
It actually looks like Kiri and Amal are talking quantum physics.
Well, they'd be the perfect person to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, it goes right over my head, and I'm stuck on, huh?
I understand a few words. I think they're speaking serious.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a lovely breakaway.
You may not even get Kiri.
No.
Which may be just as well as the mood that Kiri's in.
Why?
Well, you know Kiri's bent.
What did you do this time?
I didn't do anything. She's in a good mood.
Oh, she's in a good mood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Greetings and felicitations, Russ. How are you functioning?
Okay,
let us proceed. As I have stated in the past, communication and the necessary importance of communicating well. I am to remind you to be concise and clear. That is of importance. To articulate exactly what you desire. This is becoming more important as time progresses. The pronunciation and enunciation of words to be understood clearly and crisply is of importance. This cannot be stressed enough. The underlying statements of what is said and the manipulation and planning constructed within word sentences and the construction thereof is important. It is important to remember words do mean things. This is important. It is of importance also to be patient when communicating, to take the time and not talk down to an individual, regardless of how intelligent or unintelligent an individual appears. There is no such thing as stupid. Stupid is a word.
It implies that somebody lacks intelligence. This is incorrect. Everybody has intelligence, just in different ways. By stating that a person is not intelligent is defeating the object of communicating with them. When you talk down to them, they do not learn, they do not comprehend, they do not understand. This is wrong. It is important to communicate. As always stated, crisply, clearly, concisely, and eloquently. When dealing with individuals that have a limited vocabulary, it is necessary to plan to talk longer, to articulate in different ways, due to the fact that a limited vocabulary means that an individual can be more descriptive. By making a statement of a simple phrase that something is